You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
So much for that warm welcome. Hey, let's welcome all of our friends watching online from all around the world. Happy Easter to you too. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's always a good day to be in the house of the Lord, especially on Easter Sunday. I'm so glad that you made it. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Luke as we dig into the Easter story. I just want to say as we're turning there, I am so grateful to be a part of a generous church. You guys have no idea the difference that you're making, not just here in Longview, but around the world. And so we have a missionary that is in a very anti-Christianity country. I can't mention the name of the country or the missionary for obvious reasons. We are broadcasting today, but I do want to say she needed transportation, and because of your generosity, we were able to provide her with a new car. It's actually new to her, a used car, but she has transportation today because of your generosity. How about that? Yes. And there are a lot of people who you may never meet this side of heaven that are eternally grateful that she can spread the love of Jesus in a country that absolutely desperately needs it. And we're so grateful for a generous church. And let me just also tell you that we have 8 people that have already responded to Christ, prayed the prayer of salvation today, Easter Sunday. That's something worth getting excited for. So some of you are like, we're clapping at church. We're already clapping. Hey, there's some amazing things going on. That puts us over 100 people for the year. It's 101, if my math is correct, and it always is. 101 people have received Christ this year in this church, and I am so amazed. I'm so amazed at the goodness of God. We're making an amazing difference for the kingdom right here and around the world. So I love being a part of a church that's making a difference. Amen. Don't you? Plus, today you got to see our very first short film done by our team right here. How about that? Something worth applauding. So thank you to all of our team that made that happen. It's an incredible, incredible piece of artwork. When I saw the desert scenes, I thought, what, how big was our budget? Where do we go? Who's paying for this? That's actually filmed in Monahan State Park. So if you've ever been out in West Texas where I was raised up, you know it turns to desert out there. There is nothing, or as we say in Mexican circles, nada. Nothing out there but sand. It turns into, it looks like something from Star Wars. Yeah, I was like, what was our budget on this thing? Who paid for this? Where did we go? But I'm thankful to be a part of a church that's doing some cool things. Plus, you got to sing an original song that is a High Ridge original song here today. I love our worship team. How about a hand for those guys? Writing music, producing music. Right here in Longview, Texas, doing things that are world class. I love it. I love being a part of a church that is not dead because we serve a God that is also not dead. Come on, somebody. We serve a risen Savior. So happy Easter. We've got a lot to celebrate today. This is the greatest Sunday in history, with a close second being when the Cowboys won their last Super Bowl. But most of us weren't alive to see that. So we'll have to cheer for the next one in hope. So it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. No, it's an amazing Sunday. So Luke chapter 24, as we get into it and celebrate Easter, or as we used to call it back in my day, church prom. I think we're inventing a holiday. Church prom, we're going to call that. Because you always had to buy something new. Did you guys grow up like that? Especially in the South. Easter's a big deal. And so you get to wear hats to church on Easter. You don't remember that? People would wear hats, and you're like, you probably shouldn't have done that. Now, my dad was a pastor, and so he approached Easter with just a ton of enthusiasm. That's not the way that I viewed Easter, because Easter was a time where I had to wear clothes that I knew for sure did not get bigger since the time I wore them Christmas. It's like when you're a 10-year-old kid, like, hey, over the past 4 months, these shoes did not get bigger, but my feet definitely did. This is going to be a painful church prom. So my mom would make us Easter clothes because we couldn't afford to buy them. We were financially strapped, to say the least. And let me just tell you, being in ministry, it was challenging in a lot of ways, but especially financially. So my mom would make our own clothes, which sounds really cool today. It was not so cool then, let me just say. 70s and early 80s, like making your own clothes. Those shirts were as thin as one-ply toilet paper. I'm just keeping it real. I'm telling you, it was thin. Now, and I have a younger brother, And my mom would always make us shirts that matched for some weird reason. Why did you guys do that to us? Do you know how much I've spent on therapy? Always buying the same of everything. Well, it's two boys. Let's give them the exact same thing. Don't do that. We're not twins. He breaks his stuff. He tears his stuff up. He's hard on things. I like to preserve mine and keep them nice. I take care of stuff. Where are my people that mess stuff up? Where are you at? Just the people that always mess it up? Yes. We're the ones that are raised Baptists and will not raise their hands in church no matter what. Yeah, you raise it when you're voting a pastor out, but you won't raise it for no. And then there's some of us that like to take care of stuff. We're the people that like to take care of it. Like that, I paid money for that. Take care of it. And so Easter was not necessarily a great holiday for us, so it's church prom from now on. But I got some shoes that fit today. Got some brand new shoes. We're doing 5 services today. First thing I thought is, I'm going to need some better shoes. So I went and found the most comfortable shoes that they had. I tried on a lot of shoes, put these on, and I'm like, okay, I can do 5 services in that. This 5th service, I might just sit down. We don't know. So Luke chapter 24. In case you don't know the story, Jesus has died. He's been hung on a cross. He's been beaten severely. He's passed away. They've placed him in a tomb. Then the Sabbath happens, of course, and now it's early Sunday morning as his friends are coming to anoint him, to grieve, to spend some time with their friend, to say goodbye. And they're wondering as they approach the tomb, how are they going to get into it? They know that Roman soldiers have placed a big stone across the entryway to that tomb, and so they're trying to figure out how they're going to get in there to be able to do what they want to do and to anoint his body as one last act of love for their Savior. But then they get there, and of course they find this, starting in verse 2. It says, they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. That's a good scripture right there. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a great scripture too. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. I love that scripture. I love those words. He's not here. He's risen. Just like he told you, he has risen. There was a little girl one time that was in an Easter pageant and forgot her lines for that particular pageant. And she said, he is not here. He's in prison. Well, our God is not in prison, and he's not in a tomb. He's alive, and he lives. Somebody come on, say amen. Amen. We've got a lot of reasons to shout today. I want to bring a message today called the empty tomb. Somebody say the empty tomb. Empty tomb. The empty tomb. It makes a big difference. Not just a story that we read, but something that should affect our lives today. You see, we serve God in a time where it is not easy to serve God, when a lot of people don't believe the gospel anymore. We serve God in a time where our culture needs the story of the empty tomb. We need to hear about this. We need to know how it affects our lives. But there are lots of things, and when we've read the story so many times, there are so many things that I think we kind of miss because we've looked at them and we've heard them and we've seen it. We've watched a movie about it, and we feel like we have a good understanding of it, that we find little ways to overlook things that are really important. Here's something that I think is really critical for us to see as believers today. I want to give you 3 things that I think are of critical importance to you and to I as believers here today in the year 2023. Things that we should know. First of 3 things is simply this. Number 1, the empty tomb was never meant to be a secret. Not a secret. It's never been a secret in the history of the world until recently. We tend to treat Jesus and what he did for us like a closely guarded secret. Are you a believer? Do you go to church? Do you do these things? Are you a Christian? Yeah, me too, cool. Let's go to lunch together so it doesn't look weird when we pray for our food. But I don't know when it became culturally a thing for us to be Christians in secret, like we're 007 secret agent Christians or something. It was never meant to be a secret. Somebody please hear me today that when Jesus gets up out of the grave, it caused a little stir, to say the least. The city was in absolute upheaval. People went crazy. They saw him crucified. They watched him put him in the grave. All of a sudden, YOLO doesn't apply to me. Jesus gets up and doesn't keep it a secret. He starts showing himself around the city. He's back. You know, the book of Mark says that not only did Jesus get up from the grave, but that there was an earthquake and lots of believers got up too. Amen. Awkward. It wasn't just Jesus that came back from the dead. Lots of meemaws and pop-pops got up from the grave. Started walking around town. People saw him. There's several people in history in this moment in time that had a couple of funerals. Like, this funeral was way better than the last one. Last one was super sad. This one, we're like, I don't know. She might be coming back. Think about that. What kind of energy would it create to not just see and hear a story, but to watch people that you went to their funeral and they're back in church on Sunday morning? Things would not be the same, let me just say. What would it feel like if the meemaw and pop-pop that you watched and said goodbye to are now suddenly back? Can you imagine that? You couldn't keep that a secret. That's going to create some excitement. It's going to create a stir. Mom, you wouldn't believe Meemaw is back. What do you mean she's back? I'm telling you, she's back. She's been gone a while. No, she's back at the bingo parlor. That's right where she left. Yeah, she says she's not finished. She's feeling lucky. How do you know it was her? She was texting me in all caps. Yeah, that's what they do. You ever been, come on, once you pass the age of 80 and you start texting in all caps, it's like, why are you yelling at me? Why? Would you like to come for dinner? What are we? Lowercase meemaw, lowercase. Like, where's Pop-Pop? He keeps pulling his pants up right to the top of his chest and trying to make TikTok videos. What? They do that. The older you are, the higher the pants. It's a thing. I thought that was a white people thing. Apparently, it's everybody. Y'all do that. Pants get higher and higher, and then they start using their phone like as a mirror and don't realize they're on Facebook Live. You ever seen that? Some of you are like, we need to have a meeting. Don't press the live button. Like, I'm alive. I'm pressing the live button. Like, oh, meemaw, don't do that. Oh, gosh, don't do that. This would have caused a stir, right? So Jesus, not only does he come back, but Paul says this. Jesus appeared to over 500 people. And he says, a lot of those, they're still alive. You can go and talk to them. They're still hanging on. They can tell you the truth. Jesus was alive. It wasn't a secret. It can't be a secret today. It's big news. The city went crazy. Here's one of the things that I think is important. It says the Pharisees tried to pay people to say that the disciples must have come and stolen his body. Thereby proving, by the way, that he wasn't there. Because they're paying hush money to try to cover it up. You can't pay hush money to cover up Jesus getting up out of the grave. Who do you think you are, the Clintons? I can't say that. I'm sorry. I'll say Trump next service. We'll even it out. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. You can't shut this up. He got up out of the grave. Other people did too. People are going nuts. And they should still be going nuts. Because he's alive. It's not a secret. Jesus came and appeared to over 500 people, many of whom are still alive. He said, you see, the enemy has been trying to keep the resurrection a secret for 2,000 years with skepticism and intimidation and fear, but it was not a secret then. It is not a secret now. He is alive. Come on, somebody, give him a little bit of praise today. He's alive. It ain't no secret. We got to tell some people. It's okay. It's meant to be told. It's a story that's best told. Told. It's not a secret. Here's the second key I want to make sure that you see. Number two, the empty tomb invited people to come see for themselves, and it still does. It invites people to come see for themselves. I want you to know that you can go to Israel right now. You can walk in the tomb. Guess what? He ain't there. You can spend a lot of money to go and see for yourself. He's not there. He has risen. You see, the tomb wasn't just empty. It was open. It was open to people like me and for people like you to understand God in a personal way, to go see for ourselves. It was open to the skeptics. It's open to the haters. It's open to the doubters. For people that aren't quite sure, go see. It's still open. It's not just empty. It's open. And so as these ladies come to the tomb and they find that these angels, we know them to be angels, said, he's not here. He is risen. Says they had to go look for themselves. They go and tell Peter. The Bible says Peter comes and John comes and they're running. They race to the tomb. Peter goes in. It said Peter saw the strips of cloth. And the original language says he didn't just see. He had to investigate because he was deeply troubled in his spirit. He's like, I can't just take your word for it. I got to go see for myself. It's amazing to me. This is a profound point that I want to make sure that you hear. It's amazing to me how many people believe that Jesus got up out of the grave, but Jesus had to do the most convincing to his disciples, to those that were closest to him. Many people believed, but his disciples had to go see for themselves. They had to stick their head in the tomb. They had to look and see the cloth. What about people like Thomas? See, just seeing wasn't enough for him. Just being told about it wasn't enough for him. He said, he's not a believe it when you see it kind of person. He's like, I'm going to have to touch. And Jesus says, come here, Thomas. Put your hand in my side where they stabbed me. It's me. This is not a joke. I'm not a magician. It's not a trick. Come see for yourself. I love that Jesus revealed himself to each of his friends in a personal way. That's important for us to understand today, because it's not about just believing in Christ with faith. He wants you to understand him and know him in a personal way. You see, the stone wasn't just rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let us in, to let us experience God for ourselves, to let us see him, to let us touch him, to let us get to know him, to hear his voice, and to speak to us, for you to speak to him. He wants to know you, and he invites you to know him. I love that we serve a God that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, that's my love language, taste. Some just believe because they hear it. I got a taste. I might have to have a second taste. Let me see if that first taste was me fooling myself. I want to taste it for myself. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I wonder, how does God reveal himself to you? So the empty tomb invites us to come and experience God in a personal way, a personal relationship with Jesus. The empty tomb invites us to come and see for ourselves. I wrote it down this way. Jesus didn't require his disciples to believe just by faith, but to experience him in a personal way. I love that, in a personal way. Here's the third and final point I want to make sure that you see. If I believe that this is true, the story is true, if I believe in the empty tomb, what's my response? How should it change my life? How should it affect what I do on Monday? I want to share with you something that I found this week. In 2012, there was a survey done, and it found this. Alarming statistics. 86% of Americans believe Jesus actually existed. 86%, that's a huge, overwhelming majority of people believe that he actually existed. And by the way, we have tons of historical and archaeological evidence outside of the Bible that Jesus did actually exist. If you don't believe in the existence of Jesus, it's because you choose not to believe. It ain't because that there's evidence saying otherwise. There is evidence to prove he existed, and most people believe. 77% of Americans believe he got up out of the grave. The overwhelming number of people believe he didn't just exist, but he conquered death, got up out of the grave. Now, those are alarming to me for one simple fact. If most of us believe that he did what he said he was going to do, if most of us believe not only did he exist, but he conquered death, then why doesn't it have a bigger effect on our world? Why doesn't it change the way that I behave? Why doesn't it change my response? Why doesn't it change the way that I read the word? Why doesn't it have an effect on my Monday and my Tuesday and my Wednesday? Why doesn't it have an effect on my finances? Why doesn't it have an effect on the way that I treat people? Why doesn't it have an effect on the way that we treat our spouses or how we raise our kids, how we make laws and elect officials? If most of us believe that Jesus came and lived and died and rose from the grave, why are we in the place that we are today? That's a good question for us to ask. See, there's a big difference between knowing something and letting it affect the way that you live. A big difference and the inches from your head to your heart. Most of us believe that there is a God. Most of us believe that he sent his son to die for sins. But very few people actually live a life that's changed for the glory of God. The empty tomb has lost a lot of its luster in the light of an American culture. It should have a bigger effect on us. Let me remind you, it's not a secret. It was never meant to be a secret. The enemy has always tried to shut the mouths of believers. But let me remind you, people that understood and saw Jesus, where he revealed himself in a personal and a powerful way, those people gave their lives, dedicated the rest of their lives to come and die for that simple fact that he still forgives sins. He heals and he restores, he redeems. He has a plan for your life. It was real to them because they got to experience God in a personal way. He wants to reveal himself to each of us exactly the same. There's an empty tomb with nobody in it, proving his love for you, proving that his words were true, proving that he is who he says he is, and hopefully proving to you that you can be something more than what you settled for. We have a lazy version of American Christianity. Hear me. Please hear me. Let me love you just a little bit. I think you're here today because you believe. But I want to challenge you. How has it affected your world? Are there people that you know that you're connected to, that you know that they need the story of Jesus? People that you know in your life that you may love them, but you know that they're far from God? Let me remind you, you need to be praying for them. You need to be willing to let God use you to start a conversation or just invite them to church. But that's your mission field. It's supposed to make a difference. You see, it doesn't take faith to believe that Jesus existed or that he rose. We have historical evidence for that. It takes faith to believe that he did it for me. This makes all the difference. When you understand the why did he come? For you and for me. And it doesn't just stop with me getting that story right in my own mind, but it starts with me becoming what God has called me to be, his hands and his feet and his voice. You've got a job to do, believer. You have a God to serve. You've got a mission. You have a ministry. See, Easter is not just about coming to hear somebody else tell a story, but Easter is where you come to be equipped to share your story and the impact that Jesus has made on your life. I want to challenge you. I want to push you. I want to dare you to live a life that brings glory to God. I want to dare you to come to know him in a better and more profound way. I want to dare you to let the story of the empty tomb come alive in how you operate and how you speak and how you live. I want to dare you. You see, if this story is true, and statistics say most of us believe it, if this story is true, then that means I have forgiveness for all of my sins. That's something to get a little bit of excited about. I'm just telling you, that's a reason to shout. He got up out of the grave. Why? So that I can have forgiveness for every one of my mistakes, all of my wrongs, all of my failures and shortcomings. He overcame them, not because I was good enough, but he was good enough for me. If this story is true, I have forgiveness for my sins. If this story is true, that means I have purpose for my life. It means I'm not just here existing, waiting around to die. I've got purpose. There's a meaning. There's a reason why I'm here. I'm more than just a group of cells. There's purpose for my life. If this story is true, that means that I can change from who I've settled for to who he's called me to be. If his story is true, that means I have a ministry, I have a calling, I have a mandate. I'm more than what I've settled for. If this story is true, that means that I have meaning and I have the power to change. If this story is true, it also means I don't have to fear the end. I don't have to fear death. If this story is true, I don't have to fear the grave because Jesus showed us that death is real, but it isn't final. Come on, somebody say amen. It's not final. That means that someday there's going to be a big hole in the grave. Some of y'all might not have believed, and you're going to gather around and see a big hole where old Tim used to be. Where's he at? He's not here. He is risen. I'm getting up out of a grave, and I hope that you join me. There's a day coming where Jesus says, because I live, you're going to live also. And if he doesn't come back between now and the time that they put me in the grave, I want you to know, don't look for me very long, because I'm getting up. Death is not something that we have to be afraid of anymore. He conquered it for you and for me. This should affect our Monday just a little bit. We ought to remember that this isn't a secret, but it's open. It holds up to scrutiny. People can investigate, and they'll find just what I found and what you found, what our friends have found, what our grandfathers and grandmothers have found, that he is worth putting our trust in. We can trust him. He's alive. As we finish up today, I want to invite you to go ahead and put away your phones and put away your notes. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. The prayer is simply, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And I'm believing if I've done my job correctly today that as you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to show you ways that he wants to have an impact on your life. There's some things that he wants you to accomplish, people that he wants you to talk to. There's some maybe some apologies that have to be made. There's some things that he wants to do in your life. The question is, will you listen to him? I believe that when you pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? God's going to speak to you, and he's going to give you the next step for you. For some of you, it's time to get into church. For some, it's time to start serving again. For some, it's time to lay something down. For others, it's time to ask for forgiveness or to recognize that God has forgiven you when you asked. But there's always another step for us to take. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and pray that prayer with me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to interrupt time and space, to speak directly to each one of us. We acknowledge your presence. We ask that you would come. Help us to become more like you. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, to not shrink back in fear, to be intimidated, but to become exactly what you've called us to become, to impact our world with the news of the risen Savior. Show us, Lord, what you would have us to do, and we'll do it. In Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need to get right with him. Maybe you're not even sure how. I'm going to show you how. Today can be your day if you're willing to take this opportunity. For others, you were raised in church like me. You may have gone to church, but you've gotten away from God. And you know that you need to come home. I want to help you do that. See, there are some people that might have invited you to service today, believing, hoping, praying, begging God for this one moment where you would take this opportunity and pray this prayer with me. My friend, I don't want to embarrass you in any way. I'm not here to single you out. I'm not here to make fun of you. I'm here to give you the same opportunity and love you the same way that somebody loved me. Somebody loved me enough to lead me to Jesus. And I love you enough to give you the same opportunity. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want a relationship with Jesus, right now where you are, pray this prayer with me. I'll tell you what to say. Pray this prayer. Say this. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. I believe you rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for every sin. I invite you to be my boss, to take over. Please forgive me. Use me, Lord, in any way that you see fit. I'm all in. Thank you for what you did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you actually prayed that prayer with me and you're not ashamed or embarrassed to admit it, would you look up at me all over this place and simply raise up your hand and say, that was me, Pastor. I did that. I prayed that prayer with you today. I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to admit it. Good, I see you. Good, I see you. Good, I see you. Good for you. Anybody else today? I prayed that prayer with you, Pastor. That was me. Good. I see you, young man. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Good. Good for you. I'm so proud of you and the decision that you just made. If that was you and you prayed that prayer with me, on the screen behind me is appearing a phone number, 844-HRC-TEXT. Would you text me? That'd be a great way for you to begin to start sharing your faith. Share it with me. Text the words, I pray, to the number on your screen. And I'm going to send you some things that will help you and encourage you, let you know what just happened in your heart and what to do next. That's it. And I'm so proud of you. Good for you. Good for you. Well, High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me and stand to your feet if you would. For all of you watching online, would you do me a favor and click the share button? That would mean the world to me if you'd share this with your family and friends. People need to hear the story of the empty tomb. They need to remember that we serve a risen Savior and He has a purpose for my life. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives to step forward and be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. If you're watching online and need prayer, we would love to pray for you as well. Text us. Let us know. Click on it in the chat and say, would you pray for me? We would be happy to pray for you and to help you in your journey. Good for you. For everybody else, there's a couple of things I want to remind you of. Number one, we've got some amazing gifts. We got some cookies for you in the lobby. They are individually wrapped. And they are delicious. So please take them. Your tithe money bought them. So they're yours. Take what you like. We want to make sure that you understand. If you don't eat them, they feed them to me. And I can't do that anymore. I am 47 years old. I can't eat like that anymore. But I really want to. So help me help you. Please enjoy a cookie on us. We'd love to just give you just a gentle reminder that there is a wedding banquet coming and there's a party coming for believers. Death is not the end. This is not final. What you're walking through is going to pale in comparison to the joy that is coming when we get to heaven and see Jesus face to face. There's a party coming and we get to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we wanted to give you a cookie as a little reminder. For everyone else, I would tell you, we had a brief service today. Normally we go about 15 minutes longer, but I just want to, for some of you, you're like, yes. But I want to make a deal with you. We've saved you 15 minutes off of your Easter Sunday, and I want to ask you if you would give the Lord 15 minutes of your week to let Him use you in whatever way that He sees fit. Give Him 15 minutes this week to impact your world and watch what God can do when you step out on faith and realize God's still alive and He wants to use me to do great things. I'll tell you, I'm standing at this pulpit today because I started allowing the Lord to do that with my life. Imagine what He could do with yours. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. You've got the greatest story ever to tell the world, and it comes with you sharing your story and being willing to let the Lord use you. It's good for you, and I want to challenge you to do it. For everybody else, let me pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week following after you all week long. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go. Have an awesome Easter weekend.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.